Bio.
Welcome to Grace Break Radio, where your host, Tracy Worley, that's me, brings a bit of grace, mercy, and courage to your day. Join us today for an infusion of God-inspired thoughts, questions, and laughter along the way. Hi, everyone. Again, welcome to Grace Break. This is Tracy Worley, and as always, it's Monday, and I've been looking forward to Monday since Friday because of my guest, Dr. Dorothy, and we're just going to jump right into what we're going to talk about today and not spend 5-10 minutes talking about bio. Dorothy and I have met through the John Maxwell team and just our lives seem to intermingle in other ways. Your book, newly released, Loving Your Life, 7 Steps for Military Wives, but this also reaches out even farther from military wives, and I love the book. I am going to read an excerpt from the back panel of the book from Brandi Sanford Fisher, a Marine Corps spouse. Dr. Dorothy helped me recognize values, skills, and experience in myself that I could provide the military community and go on to become very successful. Gosh, is that so powerful? Because we think we're successful when we're doing our spousal duty, but we're also meant to be so much more. So, Dorothy, go ahead and dive in. Tell us about the 7 steps and how it started.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad to have this opportunity, Tracy. Thank you for inviting me to share with your audience. I just want to share my heart, and I will share beginning with sort of my testimony and how I started down the road to develop the Loving Your Life, 7 Steps for Military Wives. I was in Oman, the Sultanate of Oman, and we were stationed there with the American Embassy. And I had an opportunity, an incredible opportunity, to do a research project for the Ministry of Education in Oman. I was the only American on the team, and I had a team of 5 other Arabs who were working alongside me, and we were to go all over the country into remote villages, and we were trying to document their traditional handcrafts, which were quickly dying away with the oil wealth and, you know, for example, beautiful carved windows were being taken off and used for firewood and metal ones put on with bright colors, that sort of thing, you know, where they just didn't recognize, sort of like we didn't value what the American Indian brought to America, at least in the beginning. So I was moved by that, and God sort of gave me a vision, and it led into this project. But when I got there, my family had to come back to the States because our tour of duty was up. And when they came back to the States, I came back with them. We got everyone settled, and I went back. And the person who was to be my mentor, and I didn't really speak the language. I understood some of the language, and I could speak the basics. But I needed some very critical, you know, information from these villagers as we went around to do our research, and it would be in Arabic. So the man who was going to help me, who had done field research before, which I had not, I didn't speak the language. He had the connections among the ministry, you know, elders to make things happen. He had a heart attack and died.
Oh, no.
Oh, and I was just, I can't describe to you the terror, the sheer terror that I went to bed with the night that I got that call. I had a meeting with the Minister of Education the next morning. And Tracy, I woke up in a fetal position, and I could not move. I was frozen in place and crying and wondering how in the world, what would I do? You know, what would I do? Bonvillain was too difficult a name for them. They would call me the American. And I felt like I had the weight of the United States on my shoulders. And I wanted to succeed. So I was frozen in place, and God spoke to me. And he said, get up. And this was an audible voice. Sometimes you know how he speaks in your heart silently, but you know it's him. This was an audible voice. And he said, get up and open your Bible. And I was crying, and I couldn't move. I heard it again, get up and open your Bible. And again, I wasn't obedient. I couldn't move. I heard it a third time, get up and open your Bible. That time I managed to kind of pull myself out. I went into my little living room. I was in an apartment. And I randomly opened my Bible, and it opened to Jeremiah, the first chapter, verses 4 through 7. And so I would just urge people to go and look at that passage of Scripture and just take it in and just picture me there in the Middle East, you know, in a very traditional patriarchal society. And I was the only American on this team, and I had just lost my mentor who had so many of the skills that I did not have. And it was a very highly visible project. And God gives me Jeremiah, the first chapter, verses 4 through 10. Now, I was raised in Sunday school and church, but I could not have told you at that point in time what that says. But it starts with, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I sanctified you. And he goes on, and Jeremiah is saying, but I'm a child, I'm afraid, I don't know what to say. You know, he just wanted to know, don't put this on me, Lord. And God answered him and said, do not tell me you're a child. I will give you the words to say. I am with you, said the Lord. So that's where it started. And to make a long story short, and it's a beautiful story in and of itself, but I managed to wash my face and get myself ready, and we went in to meet with the minister, and I just told him the position I was in, and his heart just opened up, and where he had done most of his speaking in Arabic with Dr. Shawki, who was to be my mentor, he spoke to me in beautiful English, and he said, if you will stay, we will give you everything that we can to help make this happen. It's important to us and to our country. So from that point, I knew, and I would go back, and I've gone back so many times to Jeremiah, the first chapter, verses 4 through 10, and I knew I had this much, much larger purpose that I had to follow. And yet, Tracy, I have more or less hidden out with this for 5 years. You know, I mean, I was hiding out because I was so afraid. I was just like Jeremiah. And I was so afraid to do this. And so, you know, I did many other things. I did important jobs. It's in my bio. Folks can look at it if they'd like to. You know, I was principal of a high school when we first came here to Arizona, and that was a huge challenge in and of itself. But I made a difference for those kids. And so I worked for cultural awareness training for the Army, and you know we developed curriculum and did training that was wonderful for our soldiers, you know, being deployed and redeployed, and that was a wonderful thing. But all the time I knew that wasn't it. And so the morning I'd gotten interested in coaching, and I had a colleague that I was working with in the culture project. And she and I kept talking about how we'd always dreamed of having our own business. And we were talking about maybe just branching out and doing that. And so I had already gotten interested in coaching, which I can't say enough about coaching, because my personal coach this year has moved me so far. And it's Christian Simpson, you know, who is our coaching mentor on the John Maxwell team. It's amazing what I've done with my coach, but I had already signed on for the International Coaching Association.
Be encouraged to your day. Join us today for an infusion of God-inspired thoughts, questions, and laughter.
Somebody clicked a live link.
Oh. Can we?
That's on your side.
Oh, is it? Doctor. Oh, gosh, let me see what I can do. Hold on.
We're just going to jump in.
Oh, the bad forces are not wanting this to all come forward.
There you go.
Anyway, I don't know how that happened, but, you know, I knew that this is what I was supposed to do, but I was going down this coaching path, and I was to start the next Monday. And that weekend, I was at my computer, and this John Maxwell team opportunity popped up on the computer. It just randomly popped up. I had not seen it before. And I'd been reading John's books for several years. And when that happened, God spoke to me that time and a quiet voice just in my heart. And he said, this is the time, and these are your people.
Mm.
And I knew at that point that I could not hide out anymore. It was time to move forward. And I've asked him many times, gosh, why at this age, Lord? I mean, I'm, you know, I get tired easily, you know. Why at this age? But as I'm beginning to develop, like, my 7 steps for military wives, and I have a new book that's almost finished for children on leadership principles that are very valuable that I wish someone would have taught me when I was in the 3rd grade. So I have all of this rich experience, firsthand experience,
mm-hmm.
that I can share. And I guess I'm just now ready. I must have been a slow learner. You know, I always use the term bloom where you're planted, but I didn't bloom until I was at least 60. So it's been interesting, but I knew this is what I must do. And so I immediately changed tracks to the John Maxwell team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I met you. And that's where I've met so many incredible entrepreneurs from around the world, and our mentorship team, you know, who teach and coach us, that are just, I can't say enough. The John Maxwell team experience that God spoke to me and said, this is the time, these are your people, has been more valuable to me, and I have grown more than my entire doctoral program. And that's saying a lot.
I can't disagree with that. When people approach me about the opportunity to be part of the team, and some people still like, who's this John guy?
I know, so many. It always shocks me when people don't know who he is.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's for me, it all has to do with the relationships of the team as a whole. And yes. It's opened up for me personally, being in Montana, an international scope of what other people are doing in the world,
mm-hmm.
outside of my little community here.
Absolutely. And so I come from, you know, part of my story is I grew up, and this is in my book because I start with my story, but I was just a little small-town Texas girl. And, you know, in Texas, it's more than a state. It's a state of mind. And people don't know why you'd ever want to leave the borders of Texas. And I love Texas. You know, I love Texas. But I always dreamed. I used to lay in the yard when I was a little girl. I'd lay down in the grass and just look up at the clouds and dream of catching a cloud, you know. And I had a fantastic imagination, and I would jump on a cloud, and it would go, and it would take me all these exotic places around the world. Never realizing that that could apply to me, that I would marry a military officer. And I almost didn't marry him. Did you see me deliver our wedding story from the stage?
I did not. I was not there.
I have a link I need to send you. It's just a 3-minute little video that you can share with people that is this our wonderful wedding story. But I almost didn't marry him because, again, somewhat fear-based, but having to go out, leave my hometown. I was very, very close to my family and my childhood friends with whom I'd gone all the way through school. You know, we didn't have kindergarten back then, but grade 1 through 12.
So for our audience, and I've been able to have a little sneak peek of the book, which you
mm-hmm.
refer to best friend. They knew each other since you were 2 or 2nd grade?
Yeah, 2 years old.
Yeah. So, and then leaving that, and how scary, what we know.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's part of why I write the book, is because, you know, we want to stay in our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And military wives and other people who are in, you know, corporate wives who have to move, and wives who have firemen and so for, you know, for their husband has to go out and face danger, and you wonder if they're going to come back through the door. And, I mean, this goes out in concentric circles, really. But the unknown, having to step into that unknown, and, you know, I knew I wanted to be a mother, and I have 2 wonderful sons, Trey and David, But I wasn't sure that I wanted to live a lifestyle that I knew I would have to just pick them up and move them and drag them around the world, and they would not have the value of my deep, deep roots that I had to fall back on and grow, you know, that I'd grown up with. So that was all part of the challenge, and I know a lot of people listening, you know, have had to experience similar things. But it's very difficult because with the military, you're having to move every 3 years, sometimes two, and you have to just sort of be picked up and, you know, your roots are just pulled out. And you go to this new place, and it takes time to get rerooted and figure out where can you plug in, how can you, you know, how can you connect at least on a deeper level, because so many military I've known, they sort of lost contact with those people who were part of their history, and they would not get real close to you because they knew you had to leave in two or three years. It hurt. It hurt. And so that's sort of the, you know, I knew that that was part of the lifestyle I was accepting when we married. Now, we've been married for 44 years, and as I began to write Loving Your Life, you know, my husband was like, well, what are you saying? Are you saying you weren't, you know, you were miserable for 40 years of our life? And I said, no, honey, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying that as I turn and look back, what I realize is that when we would go to these new places, you plugged right in. You had a job, you were trained for it, you knew what you had to do. You often knew some of the people because you sort of come back around, you know, again to people that you worked with and knew before. So you were fine, and we were there supporting you. But what you didn't realize, you know, because I was never a complainer, I always made the best of my situation. But you didn't realize that we were sort of left holding the bag and trying to figure out where could we plug in? How do we belong? Where do we belong? Who are we? Because you sort of lost those deep roots that help you understand a lot of this stuff. So let me just mention a couple, you know, a few of the titles of the chapters that I've written, because
and
they
love
all
the chapters. Mm-hmm.
The chapters are, and you know what I did is I asked myself, I wanted it to be seven steps for military wives because the number seven is so prominent in the Bible anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started thinking, okay, what would be fun? How can I make this really important information that I want to bring to them and sort of shorten their learning curve so that it doesn't take them 40 years to figure all this out? You know, that they can be a good military wife. They can serve the military and their husband well, but they can also live their dreams and create and be so much more than I realized I could be and adding value to other people. So I thought, what would be fun? And so I decided shoes. Okay, steps. Women love shoes. We love shoes.
Absolutely.
So I tied it to each chapter has a pair of shoes of a certain kind that sort of fit the story that I'm trying to, the message that I want to convey. And the first chapter after my story is intention and personal goals, because we have to be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And I was intentional about being a military wife, but I wasn't intentional about what I could do, what I could bring. And I was, when I was trying to plug myself in, I was trying to help our children plug in, because they were going through the same struggles that I was. And so that's what took my energy, that's what took my focus. But I didn't even know or understand the other part. And so I write about SMART goals, for example. And SMART goals are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. That's a great framework for sitting down and thinking, okay, what is it I really want to do? And how do I get there? That gives a framework. And all through this, I give tools and frameworks for developing this part of the story, of your story, of their story, the reader. Chapter two is relationships, core values, and your inner circle. And what are your non-negotiables in your life? You know, and that's so important. when you're transitory, like military families are. And you know, I could go on. We could talk all day about each one of these.
Yeah,
but,
and we core values is what my listeners and I have actually have went through the last couple of weeks on how to identify your core values as a person and how to take that into a family unit core value and then also transition into business. Because whether we're talking about transitory and military lifestyle or even now today, you know, when you and I were growing up in the ranks, you stayed with a company for 20 or 30 years. And now people stay with an organization maybe 2 to 5, if that. And with that, we go into organizations with borrowed values, so we're borrowing what they value.
Yep.
And so often we lose who we are because we're trying to fulfill and trying to stick our square peg into their round hole. So we talk about values all the time.
Well, being an educator, I did my homework, and so I had looked back at some of your previous programs, and and I saw that, and I thought it was wonderful that you were helping people work through that because, you know, until you really figure out what those core values are, that's really the core of who you are. And that's part of what I lost along the way is I lost myself. And that's part of what I'm talking about here, you know, in the book. It's a common theme that weaves through every chapter. But chapter 3, I talk about your physical environment and transition, you know, just all the different places that you have to go and you have to try to make a home. My goal was always want this to be a home, even though it's only for 3 years and not just a house that we're living in and, you know, and we're all going separate ways. Chapter 4 is about finances and decision making, you know, how to make good decisions. And I've developed a life cycle graph, you know, the life cycle of the military wife. It could be applicable, just like you said, to organizations, but it's specific to the transitioning that military families have to do. And I talk about investing. And chapter 6 is about health and well-being and fitness. And one of the key things that I talk about there is, you know, good health and exercise and, you know, all the things that we all know. But what makes your heart sing?
Mm-hmm.
What makes your heart sing? And I talk about a gratitude journal. My husband and I in the last couple of years have, that's how we start our day, is we sit down and we write 5 things in a journal that we're grateful for, and then we verbalize it to each other and talk about it, and then we read a segment of the Bible. That's how we start our day. But we didn't do that when we were a military family moving around like we had to. Chapter 6 is fun and recreation. And again, you know, what makes your heart sing? What are some things you can do that add balance to your life? And then chapter 7 is red power shoes. Woo! Discovering your
woo!
Living your purpose. Vision writing, the power of vision writing. Christian had me for weeks writing my vision over and over. And I would think, oh, God, when will this ever end?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to record it into my iPhone. And then I'd send it to him, and we would have coaching sessions on it. And then I had to record it into my iPhone and play it back to myself right before I would go to sleep. Because then I was hearing my dream and my vision over and over. It was such a powerful process. So that's sort of what my Loving Your Life is about. And, you know, it has personal stories, and it has tools and, you know, recommendations for people to really, you know, go deep and discover who they really are, and then who can they turn around and in concentric circles touch their lives, make a difference in their lives. Just like when we were in Guatemala, when John said, you know, once you have tasted significance, success is never enough.
Right. And for,
so how do you live a life of significance?
Yeah.
That's a lot what I talk about. I talk about
for our listeners, I want to go back to Guatemala. Dorothy I had an opportunity to go to Guatemala and be part of a leadership movement there and go out into the community and teach leadership principles with our friend and mentor and business partner, John Maxwell. So he did, and I want you to say that statement again for us, if you will.
At the very end of this, and it had been a week of joy and a week of very, very hard work and a week of being afraid because you would just kind of get in a line and they'd send you out. You didn't know where you were going, who you were going to talk to. It was challenging, but it was hard work. And at the end of it, we were having a session with John. And he said, looking back on this week and looking back on this country who wants to embrace transformational leadership, he said, doing what we had begun there, he said, once you have tasted significance, success will never be enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that made my heart sing, Tracy. That made my heart sing. And I want to do that over and over and over in people's lives. And we will have an opportunity to go back to Guatemala, which is very exciting.
Yes.
Let me just, for the last thing on my book for our wives is, you know, I sort of borrowed from the Wheel of Life. And if people haven't done the Wheel of Life, you know, you can just Google it. And it really, you know, has you look at key areas of your life that we all deal with. It doesn't matter if we're military wives or who we are. And you look at them and you sort of rate where you are in those key areas. And then you sort of fill it in and you look at it as though it were a bicycle tire. And you ask yourself, if that were a bicycle tire, how far could I go? You know,
right?
Because we need to find balance in our lives. You know, we get so caught up in what we're doing, and like we said, sort of lose who you are, and we lose balance. And those really important areas are not developed. And that's part of my message: is that we need to be aware, we need to be intentional, and then we need to move forward on developing all of those areas. And it enriches.
And I want to make a comment on that because I'm also with an excerpt from the beginning of your book. It talks about equipping ourselves better, you know, in moving forward. That I want to encourage our listeners. I want to encourage those who do buy your book. I want to encourage those who start following you through Military Spouse. It sounds really, really scary because it's change and we're fearful of change. But I want to encourage everybody, if you do not walk through this book in part of this transition, it's, to me, it's scarier knowing where you're not growing.
It makes a lot of sense to me. In fact, one of my sayings, I'm full of pithy little sayings growing up in Texas. One of them is, change is the only constant in life, but the rewards of change can exceed all our expectations. And Tracy, I have lived that out. I have walked that out from that small town Texas girl with a very provincial mindset who had no, I was so naive, so naive. And so I'm writing seven steps to who I was when I started this journey.
Mm-hmm.
I call her Nikki. She's my avatar. And she's me. She doesn't know this stuff, you know. And how would you know it just starting out?
Yeah.
And so I'm sharing it with them. And then my children's book is on leadership.
Yeah, we want to finish the segment.
Pardon?
So really quickly, everyone, the link to Dorothy, everything will be on the Facebook and also gracebreak.com to get to this Military Wives book, The Seven Steps. But Dorothy, we're going to finish this segment off talking about the new children's book. Holy smoke. I'm so excited about it.
I'm so excited, too, because I wrote it for all children. My first love is teaching. I started out teaching elementary school, and they're still my first love. And so I started thinking, as I've been learning so much more about leadership through the John Maxwell team and through my doctoral work, I started thinking, okay, how can I take this down to the third grade level when it really would have been of such great benefit to me? And and just write leadership principles in a fun story. So it's called Wally Goes to School. And Wally was my forever dog, I call him. And he goes to school and he begins to learn really great principles. And I recommend having a mentor work with them. I'm going to have a children's mastermind group once a month where we come together on a little webinar and we talk about what they've learned for the 3 weeks prior. And it's just going to be, it's a wonderful, it's interactive, it will be downloadable. They can go on and click on little dots, and if it says Wally howls, you hear him howl. You know, it's just, it's great fun, but it is loaded with leadership principles that can make, with beginning, even as a kid, to have a personal growth plan, you know, and be aware of it, and let it be an evolving process as they go through school and go into college and or work environment. It's just, I think it's just, I'm so proud of it. And it took me, it took me almost 3 years to get through my Wally book. I started it, and, you know, right after we lost him. And it, my heart just wasn't ready. I could not bring it out. And when I finally have, I finally did, and I'm just finishing it up now, I just love it. I'm proud of it, and I think it can make a great, great impact on kids' lives and the mentors who work with them.
Yeah. Well, we know it will make an impact. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see the video series that goes with it in the mentorship and the interaction.
Yeah, I'll be doing little videos introducing each chapter, very brief, like a minute, minute and a half. But just giving them a heads up on what to look for in this chapter of When Wally Goes to School. And at the end of the chapter, I have Wally Wisdom. And Wally Wisdom is really pulling out those key leadership principles and then having them apply it to their lives along with a mentor or a teacher, you know, a parent, a grandparent. And they get to apply it there. And then I will do it each month. I'll have them do one chapter per week because it's so full of really profound insight. And then at the end of the month, the fourth week of the month, we will do like a little round table of anyone who wants to come on, and I will coach.
Mm-hmm.
I will coach.
I love it. Well, as always, Dorothy, our time goes by way too fast, and we're holding people over a little bit longer, which I love because I wanted to really talk about Wally and the Loving Your Life 7 Steps for Military Wives is a profoundly written book, and the nuggets in there, and who wouldn't love a book that the chapters are named after shoes? I mean,
oh, it's fun. The shoes are so much fun. And those red power shoes, you kind of build on each, you know, it's not like you have to do one as a prerequisite to move to the next, but it really is sort of taking you, building up the steps. You know, I put it in sort of priority order so that as you go up the steps, you know, you get more and more aware and intentional. And when you get to those red power shoes, oh, my God, we can have so much fun with that. I've put together a red SWAT team that people can come and we can, you know, have a forum where we really talk about this stuff and help each other.
Excellent.
I love it.
Love it. I love you. So
I love
again,
you, Tracy.
Dorothy, thank you so much for joining us today. Everyone, again, go to gracebreak.com. Dorothy's links will be there for you to pull everything down. Or you can look up Dorothy at, and I'm going to spell it because I know I won't pronounce it right. www.dorothy, and it's not on this one. Tell us your website, Dorothy.
Okay, it's www.dorothybonvillain.com, and let me spell it for them.
Yes.
And just so I have to say this, I love your listeners too. And even though I don't know them personally and individually, collectively, I love them. I love people. And I know that I'm on a God-given mission to bring joy and value into their lives. So they can go to www.dorothybonvillain.com. www.thegracebreakradio.com.
I love
and
it.
I'm putting new things on the website all the time. I'm just finishing up a new video that's going to go on the front page. And I think it's a fun website, too. And so I encourage folks to come to take a look at my Loving Your Life 7 Steps book. And I've poured my heart and soul into it. I mean, I've taken me and my experiences all the way through. It just weaves throughout. So thank you, Tracy, for giving me an opportunity to share with people.
Oh, well, thank you for joining us. And Grace Breakers, look up and out. This is Tracy Worley.
Thanks.